A Treasury of Humorous Poetry, edited by Frederick Lawrence Knowles. Page 17. The Society Upon the Stanislaus, by Bret Harte. I reside at Table Mountain, and my name is Truthful James. I am not up to small deceit, or any sinful games. And I'll tell in simple language what I know about the row that broke up our society upon the Stanislaus. But first I would remark that it is not a proper plan for any scientific gent to whale his fellow man, and if a member don't agree with his peculiar whim, to lay for that same member for to put a head on him. Now, nothing could be finer or more beautiful to see than the first 6 months' proceedings of that same society, till Brown of Calaveras brought a lot of fossil bones that he found within a tunnel near the tenement of Jones. Then Brown, he read a paper, and he reconstructed there, from those same bones, an animal that was extremely rare. And Joan then asked the chair for a suspension of the rules, till he could prove that those same bones was one of his lost mules. Then Brown, he smiled a bitter smile, and said he was at fault. It seemed he had been trespassing on Jones's family vault. He was a most sarcastic man, this quiet Mr. Brown, and on several occasions he had cleaned out the town. Now, I hold it is not decent for a scientific gent to say another is an ass, at least to all intent. Nor should the individual who happens to be meant reply by heaving rocks at him to any great extent. Then Abner Dean of Angels raised a point of order, when a chunk of old red sandstone took him in the abdomen, and he smiled a kind of sickly smile and curled up on the floor, and the subsequent proceedings interested him no more. For in less time than I write it, every member did engage in a warfare with the remnants of a Paleozoic age, and the way they heaved those fossils in their anger was a sin. To the skull of an old mammoth caved the head of Thompson in. And this is all I have to say of these improper games, for I live at Table Mountain, and my name is Truthful James, and I've told in simple language what I know about the row that broke up our society upon the Stanislaus. An Actor, by John Wolcott, writing as Peter Pindar. A shabby fellow chanced one day to meet the British Roscius in the street, Garrick, of whom our nation justly brags. The fellow hugged him with a kind embrace. "Good sir, I do not recollect your face," quoth Garrick. "No," replied the man of rags. "The boards of Drury you and I have trod full many a time together, I am sure." "When?" with an oath cried Garrick, "for, by God, I never saw that face of yours before. What characters, I pray, did you and I together play?" "Lord," quoth the fellow, "think not that I mock. When you played Hamlet, sir, I played the cock." The Biter Bit, by William E. Ayton, in the Ballingaltere Ballads. The sun is in the sky, mother, the flowers are springing fair, and the melody of woodland birds is stirring in the air. The river, smiling to the sky, glides onward to the sea, and happiness is everywhere, O mother, but with me. They are going to the church, mother. I hear the marriage bell. It booms along the upland. Oh, it haunts me like a knell. He leads her on his arm, mother. He cheers her faltering step. And closely to his side she clings. She does, the demirep. They are crossing by the stile, mother, where we so oft have stood. The stile beside the shady thorn in the corner of the wood. And the boughs that wont to murmur back the words that won my ear wave their silver branches o'er him as he leads his bridal fear. He will pass beside the stream, mother, where first my hand he pressed, by the meadow where with quivering lip his passion he confessed, and down the hedgerows where we strayed again and yet again. And he will not think of me, mother, his broken-hearted Jane. He said that I was proud, mother, that I looked for rank and gold. He said I did not love him. He said my words were cold. He said I'd kept him off and on in hopes of higher game. And it may be that I did, mother, but who hasn't done the same? I did not know my heart, mother. I know it now too late. I thought that I without a pang could wed some nobler mate. But no nobler suitor sought me. And he has taken wing, and my heart is gone, and I am left a lone and blighted thing. You may lay me in my bed, mother. My head is throbbing sore. And, mother, prithee, let the sheets be duly aired before. And if you'd please, my mother dear, your poor desponding child, draw me a pot of beer, mother, and, mother, draw it mild. Ode to Tobacco by Charles Stuart Calverley. Thou, who when fears attack, bidst them avaunt, and black care at the horseman's back, perching, unseateth. Sweet when the morn is grey, sweet when they've cleared away, lunch, and at close of day, possibly sweetest. I have a liking old for thee, though manifold stories I know are told not to thy credit. How one, or two at most, drops make a cat a ghost, useless except to roast, doctors have said it. How they who use fusees all grow by slow degrees, brainless as chimpanzees, meagre as lizards, go mad and beat their wives, plunge after shocking lives, razors and carving knives into their gizzards. Confound such knavish tricks! Yet know I five or six smokers who freely mix still with their neighbors. Jones, whom I'm glad to say, ask leave of Mrs. J., daily absorbs a clay after his labors. Cats may have had their goose cooked by tobacco juice, still, why deny its use thoughtfully taken? We're not as tabbies are. Smith, take a fresh cigar. Jones, the tobacco jar. Here's to thee, Bacon. End of pages 17 to 21 of A Treasury of Humorous Poetry.